Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
We'll host the 2025 NFL Draft
at Mark's Rental Property from the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio. It's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. I got some heroes here, Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler. And wow, what a the draft week is off to a flying start. We had our sandwich props. MJD came in. Then Kayvon Thibodeau, potentially a top five pick in the draft. He shows up out of nowhere. We talk about Erica and her future. That was a major moment in the podcast's recent history. And, Greg, we're just getting started because that was all just an appetizer. Right. Like, Erica's future. Okay, great. Like, that's cool. But now we're talking mock draft
it's
with
like,
Mark
ooh,
Sessler.
Potential number one overall pick. Ooh, like one of the greatest Jaguars of all time. Ooh, whatever.
The greatest.
How about the greatest mock drafter in the history of mock drafters? It's Mark Sessler.
The moment is yours, Mark. The floor is about to be yours. No one is going to get in your way. No one will be talking over you. This is your moment to shine. It is the 2022 Mark Sessler Mock Draft, and I know you're excited.
It's been an incredible process. One that I, you know, you think, oh, I'm just, it's a road activity. We've done this before.
Sure.
Just follow, you know, paint by numbers. Well, this year has been very different. You know, I have had to change the way that I approach this, and I've done that.
Take us through it. Take us through
it. Well, I'll tell you that, you know, of course, like a mitochondria or something, there's a lot of osmosis. You're hearing different information for months.
Right.
Some from, you know, well-established birds inside of buildings.
Sparrows.
Some not from those sources.
Not right. NFL buildings, to be clear. Just actual buildings.
Just buildings
like
throughout.
Like a KFC.
Civic buildings.
Their homes.
Right.
That's where they come from.
Oh, like government buildings.
Right.
Like local government.
Right. And I will say that one differentiating factor, in years past, I would build out my mock draft over the course of days, potentially.
Sure. Which is a little different than the Lanzier lines of the world, the Daniel Jeremiah's, who actually the process begins the previous year.
It's sharply different.
But you are more a less is more 7-minute abs approach to the mock draft.
Economical. And I think that so I really wanted to peak that the difference there. So this time around, before adding any player to team X, Y, and Z, I just said I'm going to learn everything I can. And I decided to begin the process. It is right now in Los Angeles, about 1:28 p.m. I began this process putting name to paper at 3:33 a.m. when I set my alarm. I slept on the couch to not disrupt family. I had the laptop poised on a cushion right near my head. And the minute that the alarm went off, I began the process.
The alarm was from the laptop?
Well, from my phone, you know, setting it like a at 3:33.
You're painting a picture for sure.
Do you turn the lights on or that might disrupt?
No, I lied under a large comforter and just the light of the laptop staring
any
back at me.
Any coffee? Any like extracurricular activity?
No, you're in a whole different, you're in a different mental state.
I guess
state.
What it sounds like you're saying is that we're down to about 2-minute abs now, where your day of getting up in the middle of the night and just cramming and giving us a full, or is this a full 256 or whatever, or is this just the top 32? Where are we at?
Top 32, but I've added a feature this time. something that I have called at the end of that first round, 10 locks. It's that simple.
So I've given you 32 picks plus 10 locks.
10 other things right. that will happen in this draft that are of notable, either newsworthy weight
right.
or just I know this player is going to this person, to this team in a later round.
And you know you have to cut through the noise. It's like people trying to start a podcast in 2022. You have to figure out how to cut through the noise. With you having your own mock draft, millions of others, and now you have this subcategory, maybe 10 locks. Maybe we could workshop that. Maybe we could give that thing a little panache, a little sizzle. That's something to think about.
It was about 4:14 a.m. when I came up with that subtitle. So that, yes, that we could work on that next year.
All right.
It only took like 40 minutes to get through the mock.
Well, actually, I started
doing the math. Then he got to the.
I started working on my 10 locks while
Greg and I are like red stringing this now, figuring out how much time you actually put into it.
Let's not dig too deep.
All right, so let's do it. The 2022 Mark Sessler mock draft, and remember the stakes here. Remember the stakes. Mark doesn't have to hit all 32, but he does have to beat Josh Norris of the Underdog Network, who set a record with 16 out of 32 last year. He's not doing 16 this year. We know that. We set the over-under when he was on the show at 8.5. So that's kind of what we're going for. We're looking for you to hit 9 or 10, take out Norris. He has a mea culpa. He gets humbled. You rise up in the industry. We need 10 out of 32. Can you give us that?
I hope so, and I hope that would also, you know, serve as a tipping point for my employer to actually put it on our website.
It's true. It does bother you. The MJD, like, he's a good guy. He was a great guest. It's like, he's not a draft expert necessarily.
Yeah,
wait a second.
No, I think
that
I think that the last
I'm just saying
right
Mark
now.
Could be.
Okay, Mr. I never played the game. I never thought I'd be siding in that that end of the ledger, but in this case, unnecessary for a former guest. Mark, let's get going. Again, 10 is the goal, but we have to remember, and I did check out your mock last year. You had some, like everyone else in the industry, you had Trevor 1, you had Zach 2. You knew Kyle Pitts. It had already been reported that the Falcons were taking him at 4.
Right, these barely count.
You had gimmies.
Yeah.
And I don't see any layups here, so let's get going with the Jaguars. Who are they actually taking?
I know that there's a factional, I wouldn't call it a split, but there's different opinions inside that building. And I'm going against Aiden Hutchinson, who I think Shad Khan is preferring, in favor of Trayvon Walker.
Oh, okay. So Trayvon Walker out of Georgia. And then to round out your top five here, you have Aiden Hutchinson, Michigan, going 2 to the Lions. That's sensible, which is interesting. I know you were high a little bit on the idea of Malik Willis going from Liberty to the Lions.
Right. That was my mock draft.
Mock and mock. Very
right.
different.
Mock draft, I have to use different information.
Very good. You have Sauce Gardner, the Cincinnati cornerback, going to the Texans at 3. You know, I feel pretty hot in the pants about Gardner going to the Jets, but I guess I'll have to settle for our new friend. Well, not a friend. He made it clear we're not going to be friends. Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon, the edge, going to the Jets at 4, and then Ike Okonwu going to the Giants, who certainly need the offensive line help. Anything, Greg, jump out to you there?
Yeah, I want, Mark, just how do you feel like Sauce Gardner fits into Lovie Smith's scheme versus Derek Stingley?
I think Sauce Gardner is, if you're the Houston Texans, you're looking at someone who has years and years of production. He started as a freshman. He has never allowed a touchdown in his college career. He's played over 1,000 snaps. He can play press. He can play zone. I get that it may not be the number one fit.
Eat it, Rosenthal.
But you know
what? He's trying to catch you.
This is a home run. And if that's how Greg's tone's going to be during this, I'm kicking him out of here.
Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew circa 2015.
Yeah, unfriendly.
Because Lovie, it's like a little bit more of a zone thing. And Stingley, some people think, is maybe more of a zone type of corner. And
well,
so that's
if you believe that Lovie Smith's going to be there for the next 5 years, too. I think that they're going to go player over current scenario.
Greg, I think it's good at this point to also factor in and remember that Mark's mock draft represents us as well. So what we're trying to do is raise Mark up. We don't want to expose Mark, which I think was your goal
I've been
there.
You guys are weird. I've been raising Mark's
dead on by Dan.
Mock up this whole time. What I want is our listeners.
All right, Stinky Davis. I know what you were doing there.
Our listeners, I want them to learn. And I know that maybe Mark hasn't studied as many hours, but the studying he did is incisive, and we should find
those
out.
Those 44 minutes were...
Thank you, Greg. That really registers.
All right.
It was a good answer.
Now,
good answer.
We talked about it with MJD yesterday. In an insane turn of events, he has four quarterbacks going and five picks in the back of the top 10. You're not quite at that level, but it gets saucy. You got Kenny Pickett going to the Panthers. There's a lot of buzz there, obviously. They need a solution, and they've perhaps box themselves into a corner. So they go and take Kenny Pickett, the first quarterback off the board. Then we have our first trade, Ricky Hollywood. And it's another quarterback, Mark, and I'll tee you up that way.
So this, if this happened, I don't see another mock draft out there with this scenario that the Pittsburgh Steelers, who typically don't do this, make a trade with the New York Giants at number 7 to jump up and take Malik Willis. Why do I think they'd like Malik Willis? If he fell to them at number 20, I think they would just take him. We've been hearing Mike Tomlin talk about mobility and athleticism at the position for months, and that's Malik Willis. And I think why I did this trade here at number 7, it's aggressive, I get that. It's probably unlikely. But at number 8, you've got the Atlanta Falcons, who I think are a real target for Malik Willis, or a quarterback in general.
Jumping ahead.
Then you've got the Seattle Seahawks at number 9. So I think the Steelers are saying, and Kevin Colbert in his final lever pull says, is this atypical for Steelers country? Yes, but we're going to go for it. We're going to go up there. It's only 13 spots, and we'll get our guy.
I thought about this when we did our sandwich props because a lot of people are saying it, and it was almost too many people were saying it, so I stayed away. But I definitely buy into that. Ozzie Newsome did it with Lamar Jackson famously, that he is going to want to have you just take a swing on a legacy pick, and if he flames out, no one's going to remember. You had a great career anyway. But if
I think people will remember you went out on a stinker if you drafted
that will
quarterback
be,
bust.
Yeah, but it won't ruin the man's legacy. But if you hit on it, then you burnish your legend even further. And then you have another trade, Ricky, at number 10, and I'm falling in love. Ah, yes.
So at number 10, that's where we thought the Jets, they might go get their wide receiver. Instead, the Jets manufacture a monster trade with the Seattle Seahawks for DK Metcalf. A sure thing.
Whoa.
We like a lot of these rookie wideouts.
But
the Jets have been chasing premier veteran wide receiver talent all offseason, swinging, missing. This time they get it. And it's actually the pick that I believe Jamal Adams went back to New York for.
Seahawks got the pick.
Seattle gets it back, and they take Jameson Williams to start to begin. They truly are in a rebuild, but it's with young players on rookie contracts. The Jets get what they want. They have Corey Davis, Elijah Moore. You add DK Metcalf to the mix with Braxton Berrios, and Tyler Lockett is paired with Jameson Williams.
Is this a one-for-one trade? Is it the Jets giving more than just the first?
They give more, but it's pass round one. They didn't have to give away their number 4. If they want to move for someone, I think it's that number 10 pick they want to use.
I could see it. I think if a team was willing to give up the top 10 pick, the number 10 pick, the Seahawks would be interested. You might even have to give up a little more. Who knows? I think if the Seahawks come out of this draft like they do on Mark's mock draft, which means it's going to happen, with Derek Stingley and Jameson Williams, I think they could convince themselves that this was a smart move, even if I am dubious about it as much as I like Williams.
And it should be known that the trade, and I'll get to why this is so important in just a moment, Mark. The reason the trade of Tyreek Hill that the Jets thought they had completed with the Chiefs was for 2 second-round picks. So that would tell us that Joe Douglas, the general manager, would be in a situation where he's willing to part with a top 10 pick to get DK Metcalf, who to me is a great player, but a lesser player than Tyreek. And I think it's a big gamble by you. And you know why it's a big gamble? Because as Josh Norris told us on the show, Mr. 16 out of 32, the key to having a successful mock draft is you nail the top 10 and then you match player and team fits for the rest of the draft. So if you miss and swing and miss on some of these big trade predictions, you're done. You're cooked.
I would lose all
but
credibility if I had any.
I absolutely respect
that
you're taking those swings.
I just saw the air go out of Mark's body as you were explaining.
When I put this together, you know, over the course of 56 minutes or so, I was like, I want it just to be a memorable exercise.
Although the Steelers trade is where I think you're being smart, because Yeah, maybe they don't trade up to seven. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But either way, Malik Willis, Pittsburgh Steelers, you just need that to match.
You get and that. You still get
credit it. For yeah. it, even if it's at 16. And the Steelers have been so transparent over the last few years where everyone always seems to know their pick, and everyone's always like, well, they can't just like be that transparent about it again. And it's like, yep, they are actually that transparent.
Ricky, I know you're 1 foot out the door now with the podcast, and we're upset about it, but also maybe you're not – dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Apparently, it looks like we have 500 people in a studio audience here with us, and I'm just curious if that's following Los Angeles County guidelines for COVID testing.
Mm. During this critical time.
Yeah, everyone's been tested, vaccinated, double boosted.
Boosted.
I'm sure double Eric boosted. Is all over that.
Yeah, I'm having them. I'm fighting them off back here. Everyone,
they're all boosted.
Yeah, everyone's cool. Boosted.
I stopped by the CVS last week to go get a double boost before.
There you go. You got the jam.
A little extra. Yeah, a little extra.
So everybody got the jam here. Get some tweets about that.
Whoa.
Oh, look at you, another pony being led to slaughter with the Fauci jab. Whatever, bro. Anyway, let's get back on target. Do we have to take a break, Ricky?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask Ricky's you like, that, oh, we
still,
like,
no. I still have to do that, too?
We've only been going 14 minutes.
Oh, then let's keep going. Let's move. Greg, I know I want to kind of pivot to you on this. There are some picks. Let's look at the 11 to 20. Anything jump out to you? Some superlative? Yeah, Greg Rosenthal, everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Really great to have him here.
Yeah, I'd like to just ask you a question, kind of throw this in the category of like the oh no Mark didn't picks, and that would be Ooh. Garrett Wilson to the Chargers at 17. There's one where you have Garrett Wilson actually as the fourth wide receiver off the board behind Jameson Williams, behind Drake London, behind Chris Olave. So you are saying that the NFL doesn't respect Daniel Jeremiah, Ooh. Who had Garrett Wilson ranked in his top five, and the other receivers way behind him. But the Chargers, which maybe you're trying to say Daniel Jeremiah is running as a shadow operation, takes him after he slides all the way to seven.
Well, I think you nailed that from wire to wire. That's absolutely what where my thinking was.
It's, well, that. It's good.
I'm telling you, Mark has no time to waste with the mock draft this year. Everything is going to be insightful, and he's not gonna mess around. He's not looking to be hiding in the bushes on this. Everything is right there in front of you.
Do you think that the Saints fans would be happy with a Chris Olave, Trevor Penning combination at 16 and 19? Penning gets me a little concerned in general. Not saying that couldn't happen, but
I think Penning, like from what I've read about him, is a nasty dude, and I kind of like that for the Saints. That, you know, Terrell Armstead is out the door.
Well, that's a so, great point, Mark.
Thank you. I think it's a need. I mean, I think the other thing is that, like, it sounds like wide receiver quarterback. Maybe okay. something is to come with the Saints. We'll see. But I like the idea of getting an offensive lineman. I do like Chris Olave for the Saints.
Just so, and where people can find this on the internet somewhere, not at NFL.com.
My thought was we would maybe screen cap it and send it out with a link to the show, because we're not going to
okay.
cover every
So
pick.
Check it out yeah. on the Around the NFL Twitter page, I'm sure. On Instagram, you could see the full 32.
They won't be pinning that.
I want to throw a few more out there from the top, the middle here, 11 to 20. You have Kyle Hamilton going to the Commanders, Jermaine Johnson going to the Vikings, Charles Cross to the Texans, mentioned Drake London going to the Eagles. You have a run at wide receivers there, London, Olave, Wilson, and then Treylon Burks. And yet another trade. Again, this is what I talk about when I talk about Mark is not here to compete. He's here to win or lose badly.
So we have the Tennessee Titans trading up to 20. Where the New York Giants had sat after trading with the Steelers. So the Giants are friendly to moving around that second first pick of theirs. They get Treylon Burks. And I did talk to Gravedigger, who is right now fast at work on a different scenario. Here were his comments. I'll give them to you quick. On getting Treylon Burks, he said,
you want to give a little more fast at work on a different scenario? He's just working on a different project.
He is hard at work. He's an industrial person. I love Treylon Burks. He says he's
fast
a great fit
a
in the
scenario.
Offense. He's a great fit in the offense because he can play in the slot or out wide. According to Gravedigger, I actually predicted he would be the Titans' first-round pick on my Titans podcast that came out out today.
Whoa, well,
which
that
is
carries
Tuesday.
Weight.
It
we
does.
Know that.
Good, so we're in lockstep, you know, psychically even.
Aquaman stuff. You know, I had put a sandwich on Ritter going there. That's the number 20 pick. I think that's really interesting because one thing I thought about it, what if Malik Willis goes before the Steelers? What if they can't trade up to it? And we've heard Pittsburgh likes a mobile quarterback. They could also be a spot there to take Desmond Ridder, but in this case, it's a trade for the Titans. I don't know. He seems almost too much like a poor man's A.J. Brown, Treylon Burks, to me. Why get another one? But maybe that's just the kind they like.
Well, they may not have A.J. Brown forever either, but
ooh, that's
TBD.
Maybe it's an A.J. Brown replacement. I like
that's
that.
That's a great point, Mark.
Unbelievable.
I got to say, Mark, I'm
locked and loaded.
I'm not happy. Another one I would throw in the category of like, oh, no, Mark didn't. You gave the Patriots like another undersized cornerback.
Well, I don't think
it's not everyone loves him, but the next Patriots pick for an undersized cornerback in the first two rounds that works will be the first one. That just seems like a boring pick at a time when I want some sizzle from one of these wide receivers.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, you've lost J.C. Jackson. But you've got to address the position. It's not the deepest cornerback class after you get a couple in.
Not to mention, Mark, that's part of the Patriots draft day drama. It's always a bit of a head scratcher. Not always, but sometimes. And then
people love McDuffie.
Yeah, then he ends up being a player, and away we go.
Right, yeah. People love McDuffie. That's a totally logical spot for him to go. It's almost too logical. It's just like, hey, let's take another small guy who plays multiple positions, but he's really tough.
Greg's worried.
I mean, he's 5'11". I wouldn't mind.
Hey,
being
how
5'11".
About you just wait, like, and take someone? You know, get J.C. Jackson. You know, as an undrafted.
Where did
player.
You have Bill Belichick in your most recent GM power rankings?
I think I put him 10, and I got a lot of people
generous.
Saying that he was too high. Yeah, that
too
it was
high.
Too generous. And then I had a lot of Patriots fans saying like, how dare you?
This is a
that
big,
he's too low.
It's how many picks do the Pats have this draft? This is a big draft for them. They have to. They obviously got better last year, and then things ended terribly. I want to see which direction the Pats go as they continue year three away from Tommy.
In fairness, they had their best draft in at least 9 years since the Hightower Chandler Jones draft. Maybe since like 2004 last year. I mean, Mac Jones, Christian Barmore, Ramondre Stevenson, they kind of nailed
stack
last
a couple of those and the Bills, they'll be hot on their heels.
So that rose his ranking up to 10? He was lower before that? Or
I don't know.
Okay. You're just a little nonplussed.
All right, we're just getting started here with the Mark Sessler Mock Draft. We will be right back after this break to finish out the first round before we get to Mark's Locks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
that's
my
game.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
We are back. Let's hit the balance of the first round. Let's see. You have, yes, Jahan Dotson going to the Packers, so they fill the wide receiver need. They have two first round picks. Some people are saying they're going to take two wide receivers. I think that's a little too cute. That's too cute by half. I don't think that's how organizations typically work. I have a superlative for you, Mark, which is the awkward superlative, because you are buying in on the Breece Hall running back to Bills hype train that's rolling. Just yesterday on our show, I completely dismissed that with gravitas.
Right. Wait, is it awkward for me or for you?
I think for both of us.
Okay.
I think it puts us at loggerheads.
It does.
Late in the first round.
Tough place to be.
Yeah.
I like that idea for the Bills, though, because I get what you were saying yesterday about, you know, you must address defense, but I'm more like strength on strength. Take this explosive, unstoppable offense and add a piece that might just make them, maybe they would have scored more points in that playoff game they lost versus worrying about the cornerbacks and the safeties.
I like a lot of the picks that you made here at the end. Dotson to the Packers. They usually don't draft small guys, but he would be a good value there. Linderbaum to the Cowboys. They always seem to get like the future All-Pro that falls way too far, and that seems to be where Linderbaum might go because he's a center and there's not a lot of center needs. Zion Johnson. But I got to zero in on your trade to end this thing. The Saints getting Desmond Ridder in a trade.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
What a way to finish. You finished with style.
And if you want to, like, a little bit of, like, how does a first-round sausage get made? You want to take a quarterback at 32 if you have that need. You get that extra year of control as a first-round pick.
I will. I'll spin it into another reason why the Lions, who, you know, they need to look for their quarterback as well. They did something rather cunning here. I mean, or I project them to. They allowed the Saints to get back into number 32 and take Ridder, who gives the Saints that quarterback who they might have taken higher up, but he's fallen to them, which I think is which they like, and they're willing to move up for him. But the Lions, in one of my locks, I'll just tell you right now, in round two at number 34, take Matt Corral, because they don't have to pay that. They don't have that first round money and all that stuff. Now you don't get the first, you don't get the fifth year option either. But that's tricky for some teams. They're willing to take him in round two.
It's quite a risk. I guess they would have to be confident that the Saints weren't taking Corral at 32, but I like that the Lions just picking up picks, making other GMs look like fools.
Exactly.
Absolute fools. And it kind of makes sense because the Saints and the Lions have a lot of shared DNA. Dan Campbell was in New Orleans for a lot. Aaron Glenn was there. And so I think they would get along. They'd be the type of teams that would make a trade.
All right.
This is strong stuff.
So there's the first round. And again, you could get it on Twitter, Instagram, all over.
It's like,
internet.
Oh, Bucks fans, you didn't say our pick. It's Dax Hill.
You got Dax.
And any other fans of teams that we didn't mention? Tough luck.
Check out.
Just
it's
simply, you know, travel the online labyrinth to find this.
Get on that information superhighway.
The ATN podcast.
Big Al gave you.
On Instagram. The ATN pod.
Let's do a little 10 o'clock delight for Mark Sessler's locks. Go ahead, Mark. Run down the list.
All right. Baker Mayfield to the Seahawks for a fourth rounder will happen after all this business ends.
After the draft?
After the draft.
Okay.
Once we know that they're not taking a quarterback. Deebo Samuel, not traded.
Yep.
A.J. Brown, not traded. I already mentioned the Lions, Matt Corral.
Can I just stop?
Yes.
I'm not buying. I think Deebo could still be on the move. I think he will be traded, but...
Well,
Niners are saying clearly we're not trading him.
I just don't know
if the Niners actually hold the cards. That's not how it works.
I just went
anymore
with my feelings on that. The Titans will move into Chicago's spot at number 9 and take Sam Howell, quarterback, in a trade. The Jets in round 2 take N'Kobe Dean, linebacker out of Georgia.
I love his feet, and he really a good bender.
Then Gangrene. I love this for them. 3 picks later at number 38, take Tyler Smith, offensive tackle, who surprisingly slipped out of round 1.
I like that. That gives him
a little focus on the Jets. Feels
little
like
Mekhi.
Well, you know,
kissing up to Dan.
Currying favor to some degree.
It's also, this is a lot of draft value for Gangrene.
It's a huge draft for them. The Colts, we know they need a wide receiver. I think they get value at round 2 at number 42 out of Sky Moore out of Western Michigan. And then Cleveland, in a trade with the G-men, move up to number 36 and take Georgia wide receiver George Pickens.
How will you feel about that, Mark?
I will observe it, and I've already, you know, there's very little feeling. I just think it might be a test. Yeah.
That was a test. You passed it. You aced it.
I like
you aced
that.
This whole thing, buddy.
I feel like Pickens might, if he was healthy, he had a torn ACL that he missed most of last year, he might be the number one wide receiver in this class.
Well, I mean, and meanwhile, and I know it's a new brain trust, but it just goes to show you, like, the Giants. What a free fall. Like, they're shopping Kadarius Toney. Just drafted him in the first round last year. Now you're trying to trade him. It's just like,
he looked, I know he didn't produce that much, but he moves more.
Does he
like
get moved?
He moves more like, everyone always compares people to Tyreek Hill, and it's always stupid, I think. But Kadarius Toney moves more like Tyreek Hill in the way that he just moves different and more explosive and faster than all the NFL players around him, more than almost anyone I've seen since. Now, there's a lot of red flags there, but man, I think now, if you're the Chiefs, you'd be like a team like that.
Who's got bigger red flags than Tyreek Hill? I mean, that makes me think.
Correct.
Maybe if the Giants are desperate to turn the page, perhaps they could secure Toney and see if he could play the guitar at Arrowhead.
I read that Toney was back with the Giants now and doing things with them. Now, I don't know.
He's back lifting weights and whatnot. I like what you did, though, Mark, just playing the game in terms of the mocks. You had a lot of very specific player-team combos. No one's going to expect you to nail those. But when you happen to hit on one of them, let's say N'Kobe Dean goes to the Jets, you just highlight that.
That's all it takes.
You put it out on Twitter. Copy paste.
See ya.
I'm a genius.
Passive income.
See you in September.
Yes. Passive.
That's called a mailbox money.
Scissor.
Great job, Mark. Excellent work on the mock draft. And remember, the goal is not 32 out of 32. Nobody does it. But if you can just get 9 or 10 and take out Norris, who's the king. You know what do they call him? He's the king of mountain, or is it the king of mountain? If you could take him out, you will be on top.
Then I become that.
You are that person. I think it's a good thing to be. I think
one of the two sounded better than the other, but yes.
Yes, you're the better one.
You also, though, if you lose to him, you could be replaced by him just during draft season, but. You know, it could just be like, hey, let's get Norris more in the mix.
That's on my mind, too. That's why, I put a solid – I mean, I really put a solid hour plus into this overall exercise.
All right. Good stuff. Any other questions, Greg, you have?
No. I want to hear more what was happening by 5:30 a.m. because at that point you're locked and loaded, and you just got some time to kill in a dark house.
I wrapped
the exercise by then, fell into, like, REM sleep and had a dream that I was falling off a building. So
and one last note again, Greg, this is building the brand. It's not just the Mark Sessler brand.
Absolutely,
it reflects on all of us.
The ATN right. brand. If Mark gets one right, the whole podcast looks like hell. We want success.
We need you. You are carrying us on some level through this draft process. So your win is our win, and your loss is gonna.
Remember,
affect all
of us. I don't love the sound of that.
Remember the beach, Mark.
The
like
film.
Two sets of footprints and
oh, right.
all of a sudden one set of footprints. Jesus, where'd you go? Oh, bro, those are my foot. I was carrying.
Right,
you.
Sure.
That's you right now.
I'm carrying you or you're carrying me?
Yep. Well, no, you're the mock drafter.
I'm carrying both of you.
Bet your ass.
One in each hand.
Or you drop us.
Right in the water.
You falter.
Well, we'll find out what happens.
All right, we'll circle back on Saturday. All right.
I mean, I love
stakes are sky high, baby.
They're huge.
Are you awake and wiggling around in my arms, or are you just sort of like sack of potatoes over each shoulder?
Whatever is going on in your REM cycle is okay. What's happening.
My favorite thing about this mock is like on Thursday evening when, you know, before draft week, we're like, oh, what are we going to do for draft week? And he's like, oh, yeah, we've got Mark Sessler mock draft.
And then a little double dip for the ages. The other thing that happens, we're like, oh, yeah. Spice Rack, coming up next. Stay tuned.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my
game. That's my game.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Welcome back. Joining us now from the west side of Cincinnati, it's a tradition like no other. Some people call him Bradley Allen Spicer. Some people might know him as Spice underscore Rack underscore MD. But we know the man as Spice Rack. And he's back with his draft predictions. What's up, Spicy?
Gentlemen, it's good to see you.
Spicy,
it is great to see you. You're on the Skype. You're the only guest we've ever had on Skype that's clapped to get fired up multiple times before we
fired
even
up, baby. I'm
start.
Fired up.
Of course, you're a longtime old friend of our great friend, Chris Wessling. We're here
of
in the
course.
Chris Wessling podcast studio. And you were the original Desert Consigliere. And now the draft is in Las Vegas, your old home, and you're in Cincinnati. I feel like that's not right. You
attitude.
Should be there.
I feel like it's not right either. I would love to be hosting you guys around Vegas right about now.
Can I make one note that Spicy is getting more handsome?
Hard to argue.
I'll leave it
hard
right there. Argue. I'm noticing that right
hard
now.
Hard to argue.
It looks good.
We've mentioned many times that the first time meeting Spice Rack was disarming.
Jarring.
Because he's like a 6'5" guy with nice head of salt gray hair. It's a whole thing.
Maybe now. Not when we first met.
No, it's been coming on like a freight train, Zeus.
Salt on top of pepper from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, but in a good way.
All right, Spicy, before we get into, because you love the college game and you know it at a level that we can't even begin to fathom, but I do want to just touch base about the lead up to the Super Bowl and your beloved Bengals and nearly taking the Lombardi home, and also you making almost like a threat that you better be on the podcast. It didn't come to fruition. Are there any hard feelings on the Spice Rack side toward the pod?
Yes, absolutely. They're only directed at you.
I was going to ask.
And I'm shocked you had the nerve to bring it up right now. But yes, of course, I'm upset. Of course.
I would think, how about this?
There's no excuse.
Who do you?
This isn't like the old days when it's a week, you know, between championship game and Super Bowl.
Right.
2 weeks.
You could have found some time for Spicy.
Can I just throw in one thing?
I had angles.
Who do you text with by far the most with on this right here at this table?
All right, so we got Triple G first, no doubt about it.
Sure.
Cess, the Cess man.
Sure.
Is next, and you are non-existent aside from baseball postseason. I feel like that's the only connection we have outside of this.
So if you and I have less of a connection than Greg and Mark, why is it then my fault? Your buddy Greggy, who you guys are constantly going back and forth about things that I don't even want to know about, read between the lines on that. Why isn't he taking the reins and making sure you get on the Super Bowl?
It's a very fair point.
Why am I taking the heat when your actual buddy, Greggy, didn't make sure it happened?
I'll tell you why. Because when I threw it out there about 9 seconds after the Bengals beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, you know, the most early and on time and ahead of schedule I've ever been in my entire life. I reached out and you squashed it immediately.
It's true. I mean, he sent it to the group and you squashed it immediately. It was over.
How about this? I bet I can. Let's scroll back on the old.
I love the fire inside of Spicy. It is adorable. I mean, not adorable.
I can't believe Dan Wild, bring that up right now.
I'm looking at it right now.
He's trying to throw you off your game to make your draft prospect stuff worse.
It says, this is Spice Rack. Minutes after the Bengals shocked the world to advance to Super Bowl 56. Spice Rack, demanding 30-minute segment on Bengals/West between now and Super Bowl 56 or delete my contact info. And I responded, we can promise you the Bengals will get extensive coverage across the next 2 weeks. At no point did I say that you would not be involved.
What kind of nonsense is that? I'm not going to beg. What do you think? This is the most important thing in my life?
Yeah, well, that is a trash response, by the way.
You demanded.
But I thought for sure I had a lot to offer.
Let's be real, I wore
my Eddie Brown jersey to school in 1988.
Listen.
You know, right before the Bengals lost Super Bowl 23. I offer some perspective here.
You need to go answer the landline.
Ridiculous.
In fairness, though, we're all adults here, Dan. We're all adults. That was as nice of a slapdown as possible by you.
It was honestly open-ended.
Neither Greg nor Mark, your beloved Mark, ever said, hey, let's get Spicy on the show.
At no point did it even come up.
Mark is not to blame on this situation.
That's because I saw the slapdown. I was like, dang, Dan went hard immediately.
And by the way,
I'm not stepping into
you're
this.
Asking, does the old Zeuser mind wearing the black hat? I do not mind wearing the black hat. If you want me to be the
you
bad guy,
you love it. You
I'll
embrace
be the bad
it.
Guy. But I will tell you
it's
this.
It's your favorite thing in the whole world to be to
by
wear
no
the black
means,
hat.
By no means did I want you not to be involved with that show. It just wasn't an option because we were on Radio Row all week. There was never really a window. And guess what?
Are you nuts?
Guess
Are you
what?
Nuts right now?
Spicy.
Are you nuts?
Spicy, guess
you,
what?
You didn't start the podcast last week.
Why does every Spice have some say
in the what goes on?
Spicy.
How dare you
I have
bring
a voice
this up.
In the room, but let me say this, Spicy. If the Bengals,
what about that left guard from Boston College?
If the Bengals get that stop in L.A., you're on the show Super Bowl night. I promise you. I swear on the lives of my children, you're on that show.
I tell you what, I might have been too drunk for broadcast.
Right. It's part of the reason why.
I took your demand, Spicy.
His demand, when I read it, I figured it was from a man who had been enjoying the greatest win in Cincinnati sports in quite a long time.
And Spicy, just to underline it here.
You're bumming me out right now. Season for the ages.
Spicy.
Season for the ages.
Great season for the ages. And this is, I think, your fifth appearance on the draft show. And we love having you every year.
That could not be true.
Now let's transition. I'm saying
in terms of year, I've been doing a lot more than 5 years.
Really? Well, time flies.
Well, the Melvin Gordon years when we started that. So
What year was that? 16?
I trust Spicy on this front.
I don't know.
All right.
Mark, a lot more hits than misses.
A lot of insights.
A lot more.
Oh,
lot more
good luck getting a word in edgewise on this
humble.
Show, please.
All right, let's get into it, Spicy. I want to know.
That's the other thing. I'd much rather talk to Sessler alone. I've said that for a long time, and
let's,
I mean it.
Let's get into the draft prospects, Spicy.
Yeah, let's go for it. Greg, we can keep texting. This is a disaster right now.
It's not on you. It is not on you. Hang in there, Spicy.
Give us the guy you're standing on the table for first among all these draft prospects that Spicy's higher on than anyone else.
I could sit this out if you guys want me to leave and you guys could handle
it. I don't
Spicy.
Think that you're sitting this out. We've covered plenty of real estate on your concerns.
Going forward, I could excuse myself.
No, I'd love to say take a hike right now, but I know how you'd get me back.
All right. Give us the name. Who are you starting with, Spicy?
Come out strong.
Well, I'll say that Greg, you know, already sort of you mentioned my strongest take.
Mm.
And but, you know, as far as the Ritter thing, and I don't want to. It's much more fun to talk about guys you believe in.
go positive. You know. Let's go positive. I know you don't like Desmond. That's fine. You're a Cincinnati guy, so you've watched him a ton, and you're not a fan. Let's go positive. Who do you like?
Well, if we're talking quarterback, I think there's one that's clearly ahead of everyone else, and that's Matt Corral. Clearly ahead of everyone else. Obviously, the class isn't great, and between Malik Willis's arm strength and athleticism, he's worth a shot for a franchise that's going nowhere. He's a much better athlete than say like Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts is a very good athlete. You know, I mean, Malik Willis can really move, and he's got a stronger arm. And he'll probably lead the league in interceptions. Not trying to pile on him. He's worth a roll of the dice for a franchise that ain't doing nothing. But Matt Corral, I think, is a guy who you worry about his frame because in the open field he's a good runner, but in the open field he looks for contact. Sliding's got to be part of the deal immediately. But he stands in there and takes it on the chin because he looks to throw deep, and his frame is just, you worry about it being able to stand up. But he's a good athlete. He can squirt away out of trouble, and he'll square up and flick 160 yards, no problem.
And spicy.
He's always looking deep first. So I just like the guys that'll roll the dice. I don't want safe and steady. You know, Jalen Hurts is safe and steady. How far are you ever going to go with him? He seems more like a backup quarterback and a coach someday. But Matt, I already picked on Jalen Hurts twice now. But
you compared Ritter to Matt, Andy Dalton too, which is a bad.
I
word.
Said like some. So some Corral Andy Dalton, is going to go for Jason it a little Campbell.
More. Yeah, it's
gonna. Oh, no doubt about it. He'll let it rip. And I mean, you'll hear people talk about he had some bad turnovers. He really just had like a couple of bad games. You know where like. When he had three interceptions, it was kind of like, F it. Who cares if I throw a fourth or a fifth? And, that's not the goal, but it's, there's something, I don't know if I'd call it admirable, but like he's going to let it rip, he'll let it rip. So durability is an issue with him.
Was it so spicy? Matt Corral is the one.
I see him as a better prospect than, because, people say that, like one of the knocks on him is holy moly, Lane Kiffin's offense sort of by design will hit, but hey, you throw an accurate deep ball and you're never looking to go safe and steady. I don't care what offense you play. Cause he's the type of player who extends plays. I mean, he's quick. He's athletic. He'll make plays off script. I think he was leading the SEC in rushing going into like November, and this isn't Cam Newton or Tim Tebow is a big physical presence of the goal line. He's like 6'1", 190. I don't know what he measured at the combine, but he's not a physically impressive dude, but I like him most of the quarterbacks for sure.
I'm not trying to be like Nolan Naraki here, but like he is the one quarterback where there is a lot of press about the off the field version of Matt Corral, where someone said the problems start the minute you give him $1 million. There's a lot of unresolved stuff going on with him. Like, so it's, I guess the fit would really matter where he lands. You don't want to go to some wandering franchise that's going to be in and out of coaching hires.
Naraki right. Taking a stray in a big spot.
Boom.
Well, Naraki. I think we know, he generates headlines for some of his criticism. I don't know Matt Corral, but that's out there. Does it concern you or you just
fair enough. Cause I can't really list any quarterbacks who, that's a full year. That's a real mature job. You can't really.
Hey, Spike.
Maybe you find me any of the Johnny Manziels or, Vince Young. I don't think took things too seriously. A bunch of other guys who are kind of guys who didn't even really get drafted. Chad Kelly. Sessler's guy. A lot of
Another
Colts Brandon. Very sad story, but those guys who kind of. Screw around and don't think
people
take things too seriously. I don't know.
Spicy, I want to cycle back to a tweet that you have highlighted on your Twitter account from our great friend.
Talk to me.
Chris Wessling. I remember, this is from March 2018. I remember a conversation more than a decade ago when Spice Rack called Antonio Cromartie one of the most naturally gifted athletes he'd ever seen on a football field. Cromartie had a really, really good career in the NFL. Cromartie was big. What made him really, not only was he incredibly athletic, he had size. He was 6'2", 210. And now you got this guy, this Cincinnati kid, Sauce Gardner. He's 6'3", he's 190. Do you see any Cromartie-esque ability? Obviously, he's a physical match. Do you think he has that type of ceiling?
Well, I'll tell you what, he's got the – yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, he has the – that same look in a uniform. Like, this guy's just a stud. You know, it's like, looks like Tarzan, plays like Tarzan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, somebody, Cromartie was like that. Sean Taylor was like that. Patrick Peterson was like that. And I'm talking early, you know, like, they just stood out. I mean, Sauce Gardner, like, a lot of games, the ball wasn't even going his way, but he still found a way to stand out. Like, this guy's just a stud. You know, I'm surprised. I think, like, some of his testing stuff wasn't, like, off the charts, which kind of surprised me. But, you know, the comparison is just that big athlete that's just, like, just smooth. Like, you could see him being good at anything. Multiple positions, multiple sports, like, just a real smooth guy. Like, I when I saw early in the year, you know, you someone's mock draft or a top 50 or whatever, it will come your way, and you see him being picked in the mid-20s, like, hell no, I just don't see it. I mean, he's a ball player.
He's probably going top five.
He looks at this point. Yeah, I mean,
give us some of your rapid fire, maybe. Yeah, I know. You know, offense. Yeah, like, who's going to be lighting up Sundays that you're excited about? Running backs, receivers, those type of players.
Well, you know, I mean, receivers, as far as I'm concerned, is like, this is that first generation where we're looking at, like, all the guys grow up now playing receiver. It's you get paid more, it's safer, you know, those enforcers aren't in the middle of the field. I mean, running backs get the shaft. So that's where guys always play, running backs. And a lot of times they'd be stubborn and they wouldn't want the position change. I just feel like all these guys coming out, there's just going to be so many more hits than misses almost every year now. I just think that's a position. Cause you look at, like, what Chase and then Jefferson right before that, even like Beckham, when he first, it was never, ever like that in the NFL that a rookie would come in. Even during passing booms, you wouldn't see rookies, like, really just blow up. And I just think we're seeing a lot more of those guys.
Give us your favorites, though.
Jahan Dotson. Okay. I think he'll have to move to the slot, but he's the guy I like most. I think he's, like, just a bust-proof player.
That's a big take. I mean, he's not going in the first round in a lot of the mocks.
What's his pro comp to you?
I like Tyler Boyd with upside, you know, but, like, I think he's more in the slot, but he'll hit home runs or, like, chunk plays. He was a one-man team at Penn State. He was the only guy who could do anything. So I know he was at the top of every scouting report. And, man, he busted open big plays.
A little like Elijah Moore, where he's a small guy that's going to play outside and
definitely
inside.
Absolutely. But, yeah, Jahan Dotson I like a lot. But all these receivers, I mean, Sky Moore I love. I mean, I see no way he's not going to be a hell of a ball player. Mechie, his injury situation, but I think he's a stud. I know Saban loves him, and I thought he was more the guy even than Jameson Williams, but – Williams be great. Yeah, I mean, I think all these guys are good. I really don't have someone that I would even knock. They obviously, some will bust or whatever, but, you know, just a high hit rate anymore with receivers. The tight end I love is Greg Dulcich.
You're not hearing a lot about tight ends this draft class.
No, not loaded, but you know, that I feel like that's a position, like, these guys, the receiving, not the blocking receiving hybrid tight end, but, like, just those receiving tight ends. A lot of them come into the league, you know, good and ready to go.
Nice hair, too. You know, from one hair, you know, hair aficionado to another, Dulcich.
I want the Bengals to grab him so much in the second round if he's available. I get these, like, Brent Jones, Dallas Clark type vibes with him. And both of those guys played with extremely accurate quarterbacks, Steve Young and Peyton Manning, but mostly, like, knew where to go with the ball.
Who's your Jonathan Williams Memorial table pounder?
Oh, yeah, that's like a late pick. You really stood for Jonathan Williams.
Jonathan Williams, of course, the running back out of the Bills, fifth-round pick. Spicy pounded the table. Didn't work out, but it's a dart throw, obviously. It's not.
There's a lot more
on
going on that day.
Yeah. Who's the guy that people aren't talking about that you feel reasonably confident is going to be a player?
Jeez, Louise.
You had to know the question was coming, Spicy.
Yeah, well, you know, usually, like, you can always find a quarterback who
Cole McDonald, famously, yeah. You were a big fan
Old
of.
Old McDonald.
He was the first guy cut I don't even think he made it to camp.
Oh, no. Well, I forgot about old McDonald. All right, so obviously there's going to be more misses than hits here. Who's going to change the trajectory here?
Well, this annoyed Spicy, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that.
1,000,000%. I'm also annoyed that I barely heard Sessler's voice.
I'll call you on the phone.
The star of the show.
I'll
yes,
call
please.
You on the phone, one-on-one.
No,
ask the final question then, Mark.
Mark, the floor is yours. Yeah, just,
I want to hear just the answer to this one. Like you
he
have,
clearly doesn't have one.
Well, yeah, Spicy doesn't always answer. Sometimes you got to just keep moving.
Sometimes he's more evasive than Johnny Depp on the stand.
Well, how about this? I'll give you two guys from the University of Cincinnati.
Okay.
Who were so sort of – Not by no means off the radar. They'll probably be like day three type, maybe late day two picks. But Alec Pierce, the wide receiver.
Oh yeah,
he's a home run hitter. He's not going to be Johnny possession receiver.
All right.
And I don't think you're going to throw him the ball a ton. But he's a home run hitter.
Ritter, I was thinking the rest of their receivers are terrible, but Alec Pierce is a baller.
Yeah, he's the truth, and he's tall, and so he's a hell of an athlete. He can sort of go up and get it. Again, you're not going to build your offense around this guy, but that number two receiver who will catch a couple long ones and stretch the field. The other guy is Sauce Gardner's cornerback teammate, Kobe Bryant. Okay. He's already a chip on the shoulder type player. It's pretty clear. He sort of plays with that edge. But I mean, imagine this guy just won the Jim Thorpe Award for the nation's defensive back, or best defensive back. Unquestionably, the only guy in Cincinnati Bearcat history to do so. And like, no one even mentioned his name or mentioned that because he happens to share the exact same position with the best defensive player in the history of that school. He saw a lot of action. He was always game. I mean, he's a hell of a player. I could see him being maybe more in the slot or just like playing. He's a guy I want on the field for sure. So both those guys, they could be like second, third, maybe more like third round picks. I like both those guys for sure.
All right. Do you have something, Mark?
No.
All right. Let me, before we say goodbye. He's going to give you a call. Before you say goodbye, I want a sandwich prop from Spicy.
Ooh. I thought you were going to
I got a quadruple whammy sandwich prop.
All right, let's hear it.
There's four parts to this.
First ever four-team parlay as a sandwich
prop. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it too.
I'll wait and see.
My connection with Mark Sessler will intensify over the next however long to the end of the season.
Hubba hubba.
Okay.
My connection with Greg will gradually increase.
Okay.
Gradually. Okay.
It was just steady Eddie, Greg, like we've been going, buddy. And then Dan, our relationship...
Right.
We'll fall off a cliff. Oh, we'll plummet.
That's where we're at now. That's tough. I hope that's not the.
Has it not already tumbled off a cliff?
All right. What's the?
Contention is brewing. And then Ricky and I will stay the exact same, which is to say, zero relationship. That's from now, mark the clock, until the end of the football season.
I texted you.
I don't think I can take you on this because this sounds spot on. I mean, you're accurate, I think. You control
right.
half of it.
I always pick what I'm rooting for, and I want to see this be the moment that actually, instead of breaking you and Dan right. apart, brings you together. So I'll take you
I
on
want
it,
that,
and
man.
I take it as a challenge.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna mend the fences with Spicy. I'm gonna win a sandwich prop, and gain a friend in the process. That's how I feel.
But Spicy, I want you to be sussing out the idea. Is Dan reaching out to you more and with more frequency because it's to win a sandwich? It's false, or do you feel those real feelings of friendship? You have to weigh in on that with all of us. Or internally,
I'd be happy to lose this one. I would love nothing more.
And also for your own sanity, just don't wait by the phone for Mark to call you. It's not going to happen.
Well,
speak for yourself. Yeah, I don't appreciate that cynicism. I don't appreciate the cynicism.
Shoot me a text when you get the phone call.
Mark and I have a very specific and understood relationship, and I just want to keep it. I just want to keep growing it.
Even in the past, 24 hours, we've been texting about a novel that we both read that we thought needs to be created into film form. So I don't know where Dan's coming with that black view of the world.
Just
I
don't hold your breath. That's all.
It's negative. We don't need. What do I need from you? Mark and I. The bond is. It's getting stronger, and I want to see it.
It's about to intensify, according to you. So
yes. All right,
that's
Spice
the exact
Rack, you,
word. You got it.
You've said it all.
Thanks, Spicy.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, Spicy.
Good one, gentlemen.
I texted Spicy yesterday, and I said, "Hey, do you want to do a sandwich prop again? That's an olive branch. Do you want to be more involved with the show?"
Yeah.
And that's what he came back with.
It was on brand, though. He's fired up about some of these things. So.
Either it shows his ability to change on the fly and come up with I found very humorous sandwich prop. We've never had one like that before.
I guess that
he had nothing planned and he just went with that. That's possible, too. But either way.
And he had no Old McDonald All-Star, which I was a little disappointed about that, too. But other elements of their appearance I really didn't enjoy.
I mean, I think he brings an unhinged element.
Yeah.
And so to not be prepared for the Cole McDonald 2.0 pick makes total sense.
He liked Corral. That was a hot take of these receivers. Right. I haven't heard it. I feel like no one likes Matt Corral, except Chris Sims likes Matt Corral. That's about it. He liked Jahan Dotson best of all the receivers.
That's a
pretty hot take.
Yeah.
Maybe 7th or 8th on average in most sports. And then he liked the two Cincinnati guys, Kobe Bryant. Yeah, maybe it's the name that people are...
Kobe with a C, though.
It's with a C.
And a Y.
That would bother me. He won the Jim Thorpe Award, and no one's even talking about him. And he might be like a day two.
Listen, I'm not about to speak on the Cincinnati Bearcat football, but when the arguably the best cornerback in the country is locking down the other half of the field, I would feel like even if Kobe was great, some people are going to say, well...
I guess that shows a great mentality, though. You know you're going to get a lot of balls. You're going to get picked on. You're across the street from across the field from the top 10 pick, and you compete enough to get that sort of national recognition. That's the type of player you want.
All right.
On the shoulder.
All right. So there you have it. Good ep.
Spicy.
We are now getting on airplanes, and I don't know if it's the same airplane or what, but we're all heading to Las Vegas for – the 2022 NFL Draft first round. We'll be there, I guess, kind of backstage or something. I don't know what the setup is, but we'll be there. We're going to talk to some of the first round picks. We're going to, of course, give you the night of the round one. We'll have a recap show that will get up to you as soon as possible. So make sure you check that out. Like I said, we'll also have the Saturday night recap. That will be a rundown of everything that happened the week that was and the draft that was. So be there for that. So a lot of good content. A lot of good content. Any final words? Mark, the floor is yours.
I've already said enough. I mean, I've presented my mock draft. Now I let my deep research, my processes, and months of looking at the overall landscape of the NFL speak for itself. Mm.
And I think it's fair to say Josh Norris is nervous.
I think he would be.
I think he should be. I think we should make this a tradition that the mock and Spicy are together. It's a chaotic show.
Nice mix.
A chaotic energy. I think he's, Spice Rack, humans, they're fascinating. They're fascinating creatures here. I think the same reason why I enjoy these Spice Rack segments so much is the exact same reasons Dan is uncomfortable with them.
Me, uncomfortable? I'm enjoying it. I enjoy the discourse with Spicy. I hope we can mend the relationship.
I hope so.
And if it gets worse, that's good too.
Yeah. I mean, we still don't know this. The kernel of this occurred in Las Vegas years ago.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll ever know that.
Well, you do.
I don't truly know. But maybe that's the seed of everything.
I mean, it certainly went south from there.
Maybe if you are like iced tea and lemonade, we're like oil and water. One of those things. That's just one of those things. You just got to write it off. You're not always going to be best friends with him.
You don't fit together.
No. That's okay. But you are increasingly getting closer with him. So that's good.
You don't believe in it, though. You don't buy into it, but that's okay.
Right. You won't be calling him, though. Be honest.
We've spoken on the phone multiple times. It's not. I don't know why you assume that I'm just going
to
not reach out to
people. I mean, in fairness, and to throw it back to Tuesday show, where you did the play acting of the call.
Right.
There's not a lot of phone calls going on in the year 2022.
Right. I'm factoring that in as well.
People in their 30s and 40s and whatnot.
I factor that in as well. My prediction.
All right, go home.
All right, let's go. We'll see you in Vegas. Until then, thank you to Spice Rack. Thank you to Mark Sessler for grinding it out once again. Watch out, Josh Norris. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.